David Sines is still in the Seattle hospital. They thought that he had a brain aneurysm. Now they're moving it to a severe stroke. I don't know what the difference is, but that's the latest. I know that he has walked a few steps. He's able to talk, and he moves fingers and toes, but him and his wife are talking, so that's great. Just praise the Lord for that. Biggest issue, and if you would hold up in prayer, is the swallowing. Baby food? I think that's what somebody said, that they've got him on baby food, but whatever. Am I on? Yeah, I'm on here. Red light? Plugged in? Pardon? It's maxed. Oh, you're going to tie me down. I don't know. Whoa. Uh-oh. Still working? Amen. I get behind one of these things, it just melts down. Oh, wow. I don't know if you've ever been around people that are Bereans. Have you ever been around Bereans? Last Tuesday night, I went in and met with the elders and deacons of Davis Church in town. And there were 12 men, just so happened to be 12. And they all came in packing their Bibles. And you know how you tell a new Bible from an old Bible? You know, I mean, when they unzipped them and opened them up, all the pages were standing up. And when they invite the Holy Spirit to join them, I mean, the hair stands up on the back of your neck. That's how you know you're with the Bereans. And what a privilege to be able and to go in and visit with them and line out how things were going to take place in David's church in his absence. And we'll meet again this week. So if you wonder what I'm doing, yes, I was kind of in on the foundation of this with David and I in prayer in his room on our knees 2 years ago when he was going to start the church. And now there's 14 men that are on their knees for him. And praise God. Praise God that God is making these guys step up to the plate because has David step back for a little bit here. But what a blessing. What a blessing. Mark and I were talking, and I'm really heads over heels in love with small groups. I can't help it. I think I was born a small group. I just love associating with people and getting to know them and being with them. That just comes naturally. I don't have to work at it. Don't have to pretend. And if you're around me about 2 seconds, you know I talk too much. But I mean, I just enjoy people. You know, and if we take a look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "It's not good that man should be alone." Now, we take that as marriage. But it's for everybody. It's not good for man to be alone. And if we go, let's go back to Genesis 1:26. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are standing there talking. Let's make man in our image. He had his first small group. Big group. Whatever. You know, and what's striking about this all took place before the fall. This was the original plan. You know, the original? Wow, and he passed that on as the gift to us as humans.
community, and the nature of God is grounded together. And we need to remember that. It comes right out of God's nature. It's a gift of Himself to us. And you know what? This isn't an option as Christians. No, I'm afraid I have to tell you that. It's not necessary that we try to seclude ourselves. It's an impossibility. As Christians, we're good neighbors. We should be the best. And if the neighborhood takes a look around, they can always say, hey, I can depend on him. Hey, I can depend on her. If I'm down, hey, here comes a bowl of soup. They know who they can depend on. And they put a Christian to that. Turn with me, if you have your scriptures, to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, I've got three or four scriptures I'm going to read you, short scriptures. But this is Hebrews 10, talking about binding together. Let's see, let's begin in about 19. And he adds their sins and lawless deeds. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to begin verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, which we just celebrated, praise the Lord, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that he is his flesh, and having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart to the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast and confess of our hope without wavering, for he has promised is faithful. He's faithful to us. Now, let's fast forward a couple thousand years to the current. How did Jesus start his ministry? 12 men. You, and you. Did he go for the brightest, the bestest, he went out and sought the most educated? No, he'll work with us all. And he developed a personal relationship with them. How? Through his love for him? He taught him? He poured himself into each one of them. And we take a look back and we say, hey, in our modern times, this is the recorded in the Bible. Hey, this is our first small group. So what did the disciples do? They continued the example that was set for them. They formed a community of believers who love God. They did. They gathered together. I mean, through all the persecution that took place and the trouble that was brought to them, this bunch of folks hung together, and they proclaimed the gospel throughout the world. For how long? Forever. We're sitting here this morning in what we call the church today. You know, when we take a look at the early church, it was set up as small communities of people who come together, who shared communally. Turn with me in Acts chapter 2, if you would, please. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to begin in verse 42. So I'm in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You know, it's music to my ears when I hear pages turning. But the New Age kids, if you were in the high school CMR, where they do have a youth group, and you say, okay, we're going to read. I think the reading that morning was in John. There wasn't a sound. I mean, they're all sitting there, and their fingers are going, and they're looking at these little boxes in their hand. I mean, there's 18 kids in there, and not one Bible. Well, I take that back. It's on all digital. Well, isn't that awesome? Okay, everybody with me? Second chapter of Acts, starting with verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. Oh, whoa. See, can we make that modern English? Okay, we'll read it again. Having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Amen. This gives us a picture of the biblical community, a real picture of it. You see it in the temple courts, house to house. Believers stuck together through these teachings and the fellowship and their prayer time. They spent time together fellowshipping. I put potlucks in here. Oh, wow. Supporting each other. Like Mark mentioned this morning, the ladies are going to go out after service, and then we, as men, have to leave so they get all the goodies. No. God never intended for us to live as hermits or to be alone. God's intended for us to love and to have close relationships with each other and with our neighbors. God calls us to love and isn't to be a superficial way either. Hey, wave at them, you know. We're intended to have that deep face-to-face community relationship. Well, and as you know, if you're in a community, that can be a messy situation. But if you're consistent in your following of the Lord and His Word, and you're consistent with your love, when you do show love, it isn't a new thing. It's expected. I mean, people say, yep, they're still there. And in the culture that we have here in Montana, though, we think of small groups as something foreign to the church. It's out here. I talk to the boys in town. I mean, one church has 115 small groups. Another one has 59 small groups. Well, that's great and wonderful. Are they all part of the group? Or are we teaching the unity, the body, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? I guess it's left to each one of us. Congratulations. You know, if you sneeze, every time you sneeze, your heart stops. So I say congratulations if you're still here with us. That means it fired up again. So how do we experience this biblical community? That's my question. It is impossible to have this apart from intentional relations. You have to be intentional. It's not natural. It is not natural within the human being to have the ability to just be social. We'd all like to have our own little spot. Big soft lounge chair in front of the TV set, right? You know, there's, when you're working with small group, that is where I think, if I can use this term, being church is not doing church. It is being what God intended for the church. We need each other to help. We need each other to know what's going on with each other. We need to do exactly what God's intention is as we work through this. And we get to a phrase here when we get close like that, that iron sharpens iron. I mean, as we discuss Scripture and as we bring different viewpoints, there's going to be some sparks, praise the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit's going to see us through it. And that transformation that takes place within that group allows it to flourish. Because God is training us up through other Christians. And like I say, the group of the Bereans, that's really fun because when they get in there, there are some sparks. It's fun to listen to. But one thing about a small group, we're not intimidated. We have the ability to draw really close to each other. I think the prayer times in a small group is probably as fantastic as anything. I mean, I can take a look at the families that Bonnie and I are working with, and I can tell you details for prayer that each are going through. I look across the congregation this morning, and there's three or four of you sitting here that I have some idea what's going on in your background. But I can tell you of everyone that's in our small group, they are each family, exactly what they're going through, what their grandkids are going through, what their kids are going through, everything that's going on, who's needs surgery, who's coming up. I mean, all of that is right on the table. I'd encourage you to be part of a small group. Can I say that? Oh, wow, I'm going to stretch my stitching, Matt. I like my soft chair and TV set. No, just shut it off. It ain't going nowhere. So you can turn it on tomorrow. It'll be the same news. All they do is repeat it. Put a different person up there to say it. No, there's nothing better than getting two or more together in his name and having his presence with you. I get a real thrill when the Holy Spirit shows up at a small group. And I mean, when he shows up, he shows up. I mean, there's tears and there's... We let our guard down? We allow others to see us as we are? That they can join in helping us grow? Basically, we don't want to interact with anybody when we're on the tough edge. had a gal come and said, I didn't want to be here at all tonight. And it took about 15 minutes, and the Holy Spirit just soothed her and, you know, massaged her, and pretty quick, all's good. She still had, did the problems go away? No. But did she feel loved? Did she feel that she was taken into God's embrace? I mean, as she came in, everybody gives them a hug, right? Good to see you tonight. And some of them are stiff as a board. They're so upset with whatever the day is. What really blows my mind is that a small group wants to meet on Friday night. That blows my mind. I mean, you work all week. You've been chewed on, put away wet, I mean, and then they want to have a small group meeting on Friday night. And they all come in, wore out. No. Well, maybe for a little bit. You know, and it would be really easy then to stay on the surface. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing just fine. And we all know better. But we're all in the same boat. And when we recognize that we're all in the same boat, hey, we can talk, we can share, we can pray for each other. Wow, and it is just a freedom. I mean, it's a release. They must have really good weekends. You know, you normally figure, hey, your small group's going to meet an hour and a half, right? Dream on. That's wishful thinking. I know that then if you read the criteria for the churches in town, they say the group's not supposed to meet for more than an hour and a half, and then you're supposed to let them get home. Well, wait, an hour and a half, they're just getting a good start. Because if you're going to share and intimately get to know people, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to say, okay, world, I'm going to give up my 2 hours with you or 3 hours with you, world, and I'm going to dedicate it to spreading Christ and Christ's love to other people. But you have to change. You can't go into this and say, oh, yeah, I can do this. Matt, I can meet for an hour and a half a week, and it isn't going to bother me. No, you're going to have to change. Your relationship, as it draws close to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to give up something of the world in order to have that privilege. See, God uses people to form people. I don't know why he chose us, but he did.